Good morning to you. This is the voice of Pastor Ken Harger coming your way. Got a little extra music in there, but anyway, I'm glad to be able to share with you in the broadcast time together. As we gather together, you tune me in by the way of WDLP Building 7 o'clock, and we stream this broadcast live by the way of WDLP.fm. You've tuned me in by the way of Ionia, I-1430 AM or 92.7 FM at 8 o'clock, or over in the low Ada area, 100.3 FM, and I welcome all of you to our broadcast time today. Some of you tuned me in by the way of Greenville, WGOM 106.3 FM at 9 o'clock, and we now stream both of these broadcasts live by the way of the web. Some have tuned in by the way of internet radio at earsradio.com at 10 o'clock. I welcome you. Others are listening by the way of my website. My website is quite simple, pastorkenharger.com. Go to Messages from the Lighthouse and put your mouse up on that, and you'll see Current Media will show up. Click on Current Media. It takes you right to the broadcast that we have for this morning. I need to say thank you to those that help us with the financial broadcast time. Bill and Judy Hammond from the Belding area, Doug and Noreen Lane from the Sheridan area, Gloria Spencer in memory and honor of her husband Spence, since that was his nickname, and she's from the Orleans area. Gay London in memory and honor of her husband Dave, and she's from Greenville. Marie Rivard in memory and honor of her husband Fran, and she's from Dayton, Tennessee. So thanks to those that give the financial support. A thank you for K.N. Kingsinger for selecting my music, and she sent me an email the other day, said she's ready to do it in another year, so I'm excited about that. Shiloh Community Church, I give you an invitation to attend a Shiloh campus Saturday evening, 6:30, Sunday morning, 9 o'clock, contemporary service at 10:45. And then we have a campus in Greenville at the old Calvary Baptist Church, the corner of Grove and Luray Street. Pastor Paul's the pastor there, and the morning service is at 11 o'clock. And we're still looking for a senior pastor. And in the meantime, we have Jim Lacey, who was in Greenville for about 10, 12 years. He is with us as our intern minister, and he's doing a good job for us, and I appreciate that so very, very much. Still having trouble with my voice. I think I need to probably next week see if I can squeeze out some time to go to a nose throat expert and see what they say, if anything's going on. But anyway, I'll do the very best I can this morning. And I'm over here at the lighthouse, and it was pretty cold. I got my snowplow on yesterday. My grandson came and helped me get the chains on. And so I plowed down here by the lighthouse and turned on the furnace last night, and it's nice and warm up here in the the second floor of the lighthouse where I'm putting together the broadcast. I just noticed this morning we do have a very, very thin layer of ice that's out about 3 foot from the shoreline. So that's all I'm satisfied with that for right now. We just soon let it just be waves. I love seeing the waves better than I do the big ice cube. But anyway, thanks for joining me this morning. Our message today is the power of pondering process. Pondering. That's almost a lost art. That's really thinking through something. It's using our mind that God gave us to look at something from every direction we possibly can. And I'll address that this morning. But in the meantime, we'll listen to a song and get ready for our message. And this song is going to be talking about thinking, too. And you and I think on some good things is what the song's going to tell us. And that's a good place to start, is about thinking on some good things for your life and for my life. And we'll be right back. Share the message with you in just a few moments, okay? God bless you.
I'm gonna think on the good things. Think on what the Lord has done for me. I'm gonna think on the good things.
be songs of praise. Remind myself that he's forgiven me. I'm gonna think about things that I know will lift me up, like hope and peace and truth and joy and simple honesty.
I'm gonna think on the good things, think on what the Lord has done for me. I'm gonna think on the good things, 'cause what I think is what I'm gonna be.
If I think about despair, I will only get depressed. If I dwell on trouble, I will trouble be. I'm gonna fill up my mind with the goodness of the Lord. He will make me more like him and meet my every need.
I'm gonna think on the good things, think on what the Lord has done for me. I'm gonna think on the good things, 'cause what I think is what I'm gonna be. I'm gonna think on the good things, think on what the Lord has done for me. I'm gonna think on the good things, 'cause what I think is what I'm gonna be.
Think on the good things, folks. What a good way to get started this morning. Thinking on some good things instead of some of the stuff that's around us that causes us to think on the bad things, so to speak, and the difficult things of our life. We're going to think on the good things. And, you know, there's a thought in that song that I want to cause us to see today. It's one of my main purposes of the message this morning, is that you become what you think. You become what you think. I was looking at something on my Facebook the other day, or on my website or whatever. Anyway, I see this thing pop up and it said, "You are what you eat." Well, that's probably true too in the physical sense, but you are what you think. And we're going to address that this morning. Let's just have a moment of prayer and ask the Lord to bless the listening audience this morning. You're the reason I'm over here at the Lighthouse. You're the reason I'm sitting here this morning, is because I want to share a message with you. And you're my congregation this morning, and I love that very much. So let's just bow together. Dear Father, once again we come into your presence. We come with assurance that you tell us that your ear is always open unto our cry. We come with the assurance that you told us we can come into your presence through this one, the Lord Jesus Christ, and we can seek your face. And Father, I'm seeking your face this morning in behalf of the listening audience. I don't know which listening audience needs this message this morning, but I want you to use it, Father, for your honor and your glory. The listening audience has been going through many different things this last week. I don't know what all they are, but some of them, Father, hasn't been good things. It's been difficult things. I'm sure there's been some good things that they've gone through this week. There was a special blessing to them. But, Father, I just ask your special blessing to be upon the physical needs of the listening audience, the spiritual needs, the financial needs, the family needs, the emotional needs. We're working close to the holiday season when it's going to be Thanksgiving, and right on the heels of Thanksgiving comes Christmas, and right on the heels of Christmas comes the new year. I'm thinking of those that maybe have lost a loved one. This is their first Thanksgiving without them. Would you prepare their minds and hearts not to go overboard, but just to do what they're capable of doing this Thanksgiving Day? would you minister to the families that may be kind of little sideways with one another because of something or other? Would you bless them that they might gather together as a family and enjoy one another and have a time that would be special blessing in their life? Father, would you be pleased to honor your word this morning? We're going to talk about our minds. We're going to talk about the things that make up our world around us, our society's way of thinking, our human natural way of thinking. And then we're going to talk about your way of thinking. Father, I thank you so much that you've shared your mind in what is called the Bible. You've got many things that you tell us is a part of your life and the way that you think and the way that you want us to think. And so I pray this morning that you would just speak to our hearts, and I'll thank you for that in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Well, I just mentioned a moment ago that I enjoy being with you as we share the Word of God together. The message, again, I might remind you, is a part of my devotion things that I do through the week. I'm on Facebook as a public figure. If you're on Facebook, you can, up in that search bar, you can just type the name Pastor Ken Harger, and it'll take you to my Facebook page. Then you got to like me, and then once you hit like, it should come to your home every morning. But what a special blessing it is that I've been able to do that, and I sure have enjoyed it. It's given me the opportunity to study, which I was missing. And then I take those devotions and I share some of that same information on the radio broadcast. At the end of my devotion for the week, I put a connection that takes you to my radio broadcast message on my website, and then you can listen to it. So I got that worked out pretty good, and I feel pretty proud of that, 84, pushing 85, and I think that's pretty special. The power of pondering process, using our mind. I looked it up in the dictionary. To ponder is to weigh in the mind. To ponder is to view with deliberation, looking at it from all sides. The power is to examine carefully. The power is to consider attentively. Got a lot of thinking about this power to ponder. And ponder is getting to be a lost art, you know. Many people don't spend much time just thinking through a situation. We make decisions quite quick. And we just don't think it through sometimes, and it gets us into trouble. This week, this message today, we're going to focus on the power of the mind, and at the same time, our need to know the mind of God, what he's thinking. So we just don't conduct our life by our own mindset, but we conduct our mind with the fact of the things that God shares in his word. I love the word that describes the ability of the mind to weigh a matter or to view from a different direction or to examine and to consider. The first part of the foundation to build this study upon in God's word, when he gives us a challenge. Listen to this challenge now in the book of Romans. Excuse me. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your body as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. But here's the part I want us to see. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good, and what is acceptable, and what is perfect. God's saying you got to think about some things, but as you think about it, just don't think about it with your own mindset, but think about it in tune with the Word of God. I love the idea that we're to present our bodies by God's mercy as a living sacrifice. You know, there were sacrifices of animals in the Old Testament, but he wants us to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, which includes our minds. Present it to God. He calls it our spiritual worship. I think there's something to be said about that. our spiritual worship is part of the idea of thinking through on situations that we have to we're confronted with, that we have to make a decision about, but also thinking through with the fact of God's word. Don't be conformed to just this world. You know, if you listen to ads on TV, this world is going down a wrong direction. I was telling Bev, everybody's supposed to own a Cadillac. Well, we don't own a Cadillac. Everybody's supposed to do this certain thing. And the one at my age that I really just about smile at and then sometimes think I want to get rid of it, it says, you know, advertising some pain controller. It says, what pain? You know, they don't show them 85 years old saying, what pain, you know? You got pain comes with the older age that we become a part of. So we need to realize we need to get God's thinking and his mind, and the Lord Jesus' teaching that he gave is in the Bible. The second part of the foundation for our study this week is the challenge shares in God's word. Now listen to what he shares with us. The weapons we use in our fight are not made by humans. Rather, they are powerful weapons from God. With them, we can destroy people's defenses against us, that is, the arguments and all the intellectual arrogance that opposes the knowledge of God. We take every thought, listen to this now, folks, we take every thought captive so that it is obedient to Christ. He wants our thought life to be obedient to Christ. Now, I got to be honest with you and say that's not always the way it works. It doesn't work that way by natural, just by nature, so to speak, of being a Christian. But what we have to do is we have to work on that. When he speaks here as taking our thoughts captive with the purpose to bring them way we think into obedience to Christ. That's the main purpose of this message this morning. This will be a lifelong process, though, no matter what age you are, so that the truth may become a part of your life for that particular age that you are, no matter what circumstance you're going through. It'll be a part of your life all the rest of your life. How you think about pain and how you think about growing old, you get God's ideas in there instead of just the world's ideas, you'll be a whole lot better off. If you want to act like a Christian, remember I've said this before, you must think like a Christian. Let me say that again. If you want to act like a Christian, you must think like a Christian. So we're going to have what I'm calling healthy thinking is what I'm thinking about. You know, in the AA, when you go through the AA program, when people get themselves down the wrong path again, they call that stinking thinking. I'm thinking this morning of healthy thinking. Healthy thinking. Stinking thinking will get you into trouble. Healthy thinking will give you a blessing into your life like you've never thought was possible. The power of the pondering process. In the course of our day when we cook something, I'm doing the cooking at our house now, or we're working on a project, we measure. So I want to deal with the measuring this morning. Saturday morning, I was able to get up and get some of my leaves done last Saturday. Can't do the rest of them today or tomorrow, I don't think. Got my yard work going. And you know, I got about 2/3 of my leaves picked up. The rest of them were all covered up by snow, so I can't see them. But you know, I just said that I used a measuring process. I got about 2/3 of my leaves picked up. You know, when you're putting something together for supper time or something, you know, you want some of this and that. I made an egg omelet the other morning, and you know, I had some cheese and some ham. You know, you had scrambled eggs one morning, but I like an omelet once in a while. A little cheese, a little scrambled ham, and that kind of thing. I'm not trying to make you hungry, just sharing with you how we measure things. It can't all be ham, and it can't all be cheese, and it shouldn't all be eggs, or else not an omelet. So we put different things in. I love the idea that God asks us to ponder the path of our feet. By doing so, we'll be able to measure our path of life, where we have been and where we're going. That is given to us in the Book of Proverbs, chapter 4, 25 through 27. Let your eyes look directly forward and gaze straight before you. Ponder the path of your feet. Then you'll always be sure. Do not swerve to the right. Do not swerve to the left. Turn your foot away from evil. Man, that's a powerful verse for us this morning, that we need to know that. We need to realize that's a part of our life and part of what we are supposed to be doing as an individual. So he wants us to realize, when I'm going traveling to visit somebody or I go on a vacation or something, I use a GPS. And the GPS keeps me on cord, and it also records where I'm at. I love the GPS for this purpose. It tells me what time, if I keep going at the speed I'm going and everything keeps going this way, I'll arrive at my destination at such and such a time. Well, I need to realize that that's a pretty special thing. And we need to know where we're going, where we've been, and what the journey is about. I believe the spiritual lives of every now and then require a time of self-examination. You know, when I was speaking about the GPS, every now and then that GPS says to me, recalculating, recalculating. You know what, folks? That's all I'm asking this morning, to do a spiritual examination, recalculating. How am I doing as God's child? We may ask, but how do we measure our spiritual growth? One thing, we ponder on the path we are on and use the idea of thinking about our lives and where we are today and where we want to be tomorrow. Then we ask ourselves, am I the person I was yesterday? Or has there some changes taken place in my life? At the end of this year, pretty soon this year is going to end, am I the same person I was at the end of the year? We need to realize that we need to take a look at some of those kinds of things. God spoke about the lack of spiritual progress in the book of Hebrews chapter 5. This is those who are not watching over their thinking process. For though at this time you ought to be a teacher to someone else, you ought to be able to teach, but you know what? You haven't made any progress. So we need to teach you again the first principles of the things of God. You have the need for milk. You can't take any stronger food. You're still on the bottle, so to speak. I believe this verse is teaching us that God is expecting us to grow. God is expecting us to become the person he wants us to become. And can I tell you who that is? Jesus wants us to become more and more. Every day of our life, every year of our life, like the Lord Jesus himself. That's what our goal should be, to accomplish what we need to accomplish as we weigh the things of our life, as we think about those things and measure them. Second thought I want to share with you for just a few moments, and then we'll listen to a song. We need to realize that we need to weigh the matter. Have you ever had that in your I'm weighing this matter. I need time to think about it. Somebody says to me, you know, what do you think about this? And I say, well, you know, you better give me a few minutes to think about that. Maybe I even want to do a little research to find out. I don't know as I've really come to what I'm thinking about that. But you've got to make a decision. And this decision is going to affect your life. One of the first things that come to my mind is I need to take time in making the decision. Can I tell you from my heart to yours, when you get to this age, you can look back over your life, and I can see the times when I made a quick decision. It didn't turn out being a very good decision. We want to weigh it. All the pros and cons. What about this? Oh, this would be a good thing. That would be a difficult thing. What all is involved in this decision I need to make? I love what is shared in the book of Proverbs 18:3. He who answers a matter before he hears it, it is folly and shame to him. Think about it, he's saying. You need to think over the different things concerning that. What would be the outcome of this? What's the good things? What's the difficult things? What's the things that you can live with? What's the things you can't live with? The pondering process, that's why I'm calling it a process. It'll cause you to weigh and carefully examine all of your options. As we list the worst and we list the best, in view of wanting to receive direction and wanting to receive directions from the Lord Jesus. I love what Jesus told a group of people who wanted to follow him. Which of you desire to build a tower? You want to follow me, Jesus said. Have you thought that through? Which of you, if you're going to build a tower, do you not set down? I like that idea. Do you not set down and count the cost? Rather, you have enough to complete it or not? Otherwise, when you have laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all who see us will begin to mock us. It is not a good decision. This man began to build, but he wasn't able to finish. Can I say it this morning to you with out of love? God wants us to finish. I've said for years, it's not how we start. God wants us to finish well. You can start out bad and finish well. You can start out well and finish bad. So he's telling us that's the idea of looking for direction from our paths. That's why my life's verse is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge God, and he shall direct your path. You see, when you're weighing it, when you're weighing the matter before the different ideas, you can do something like this. What would my generation say about it? Those in their 80s. How would they make this decision? Or you can say about it, what does the world teach me today that I should do? And then you can think, what do I think I want to do? And then you need to know, I need to seek God. Does God have anything to say about this? What would be God's thoughts? What would be the plan or desire that God would have me follow? That's called weighing the matter. That's pondering it. You're thinking it over in your mind. You're looking at it from different directions. The pondering process will cause us to weigh carefully and examine all of these kinds of things. And Jesus is telling, you know what? If you start something, you can't finish it. It's going to cause you a lot of difficulty. I pass on to you that in my life, I believe God's way for me has been that I should not make any quick decisions, but to weigh it, ponder it, think about it in different directions. I love Jesus' word. Didn't you set down and count the cost? You need to set down. Just don't make a quick decision that's going to get you into difficulty. You set down and count the cost. Count the cost to you, count the cost to others, count the cost to God. Because if you can't complete what you start, it's going to bring you discouragement. Do you know what? In our lives, we have discouragement because of every uncompleted situation. And I love it that God reminds us that he that began a good work in you and I, he's going to bring it to completion. And God wants us to bring things to completion. So I got a picture on my Facebook of a man sitting over a body of water, and he's just sitting down. Every man, every way of man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the heart. Oh, Pastor, that's not fair. Proverbs 21:2, that didn't come from me. That came from the Lord. He's saying, sit down. Your ways you think are always right. And you know that you found out already that sometimes your ways wasn't right. So you need to know. We need to sit down and take a moment. So I need to take a moment to give my voice a little rest and get a sip of water here or pop, whatever I got this morning. And I just trust that you enjoy this song. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Just a short song to remind us when we look to God for his blessings, he'll share his mind with us. He has shared his mind with us in the Bible. And so we need to know that's something that is very special. So let's listen to this song, and I'll be right back in just a couple minutes and share the rest of the message.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. He is worthy. Blessed be the name.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. He is worthy to be praised and adored. So we lift up holy hands in one accord, singing, blessed be the name. Blessed be
and blessed be the name of the Lord. You know what that pause just is for this purpose? It's a cause us to think back when maybe you're going to make a decision and the Lord led you a different way. I've had those times in my life when I thought I was supposed to do a certain thing and all of a sudden the Lord just shows us that way. That's taught in the Bible. Apostle Paul was going to do many different things, and he said the door went shut. And when the door goes shut, he said there was another door opened a different direction. And you know, when I think back of the times in my life, I have to say, blessed be the name of the Lord. He led me down a path that I hadn't thought about. He showed me some things that I hadn't thought about. That's why we need to know as we make decisions, what's the Lord's idea? I just want to take and continue on with the thought that we're talking about. When you're growing up years and maybe in school or whatever else it might be, have you ever had someone say to you, think about it, think about it? You ever been talking to somebody about a decision and that you're going to make and maybe they just say that same thing? Think about it. Think about it. Think that through. What you choose to think about and dwell on will make you as to what type of a person you're going to become. I like the thought that what you face, what you focus upon, you become like. If you focus upon the negative, have you noticed? You can become negative. If you focus upon the positive, have you noticed? You can become positive. You know, that thought life is more powerful than we're giving it credit for. I love the wisdom of God that shares with us as he speaks about a man having somebody over to his house and he was having food. Now listen to what he says. For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. So as he thinks in his heart, so is he. This man is watching somebody's over to his house and he says to them, eat and drink. He says to you, but his heart is not with you. He wish you wasn't even there. As you think in your heart, you are. I love another translation about this verse. It says, as he calculates the cost to himself of what you're eating, he says to you, eat and drink. But his heart is not with you. He doesn't really mean it. One more, come on, have some more, he says. But he doesn't mean it. What he thinks is what he really is. That's in the book of Proverbs. What he thinks is what he really is. He's saying all this about eat and all that kind of stuff, but in his mind he's saying, I wish he'd get out of here. God's saying, you know what? The person you are is coming from that thought life. You may say to me, that's just very natural, Pastor. That happens sometimes when we're doing something that is costing us to help somebody else and they don't seem to appreciate what we're doing. We would be right from the world's standpoint to say, but this is not the way it is with God's word. I like this message from God delivered by John the Baptist in the book of Luke chapter 3. John the Baptist was a forerunner of Jesus. He's trying to get the people ready to receive the Lord Jesus. He was baptizing, and it was for the forgiveness of sin. They had to admit that they were sinners. And lots of crowds of people were coming to him to be baptized. He would say to them, "You're poisonous snakes. Who showed you how to flee from God's coming anger? Do those things that prove that you have turned to God and have changed the way you think and act." This isn't a new message. John the Baptist was delivering this message. You turn to God, God's going to change the way you think. You turn to God and God's going to change, excuse me, God's going to say to change the way you act. The crowd asked him, "What should we do?" Now listen to what he says. Going back to this man that was watching this fellow eat in his house, and he's telling him to eat, but he didn't really want him to. He wasn't revealing his true self. And this is what John the Baptist is saying to them. He answered them, "Whoever has two shirts should share them with the person who doesn't have any." Be willing to share. Be willing to give. And do it from your heart. You know, I'm glad he said he who has two shirts. You know, when I was growing up, they'd always say the Harger kids are so poor. I didn't know, to be honest, that we should have more than two shirts. I don't think we ever lived in a house that had a closet. The old houses we lived in didn't have closets. We had one shirt on and one was in the wash. Time this shirt was ready to go to the wash, Mama had the other shirt washed. And you know what I've heard hundreds of thousands of times in all the funerals that I have done? They said he was a pretty decent person. He would give you the shirt right off from his back. And John is just saying, "You got two shirts? You only need one. Give one to somebody else." He goes on to say, you know, whoever has food to share it. If you got food, you got food in your house, then share it. I think we need to understand that Jesus is going to teach some of this same stuff, which I'll get to in just a few moments. But you know what? We got to understand that how we think is who we are. How we think in our heart is who we are. You know, the thinking in our mind has to go to our heart. This man that had this man eating in his house, he really wasn't given from his heart. He was given because the guy was there, and the guy was eating more than he wanted him to. God is saying to us through John the Baptist, be careful how you think. Your life is shaped by your thinking. Now, John the Baptist didn't say that. I didn't say that. God said that in Proverbs 4:23. Let me do it again. Be careful how you think. Your life is shaped by your thoughts. Isn't that true when you think about it? What a beautiful thing I just had happen as I here at the lighthouse. I had two little diving ducks came by. Man, they dived down to about the count of 18. I didn't count it this time, but one day I did when I was here. Those little teeny diving ducks, they dive right down to get their food. And then they were done diving, and all of a sudden, this beautiful flock of geese came by, all in that V formation. And I'm hoping they're leaving the lake. Well, we leave that alone. Let's get back to our message. You know what God's saying to us? He said, I want you to understand this idea of God working in your life. The thoughts of God will change your life for the better. The thoughts that just comes from the world's way of thinking, you're going to turn into a world way of thinking person. The power of the pondering process for our mind to think. Think about it. Sometimes I think that that's what Jesus could say to people. Think about it. Got to say some things that Jesus said in his Sermon on the Mount. And I love the way he did this. And you know, I think it was just to get the people to think about it. Listen to what he says now in Luke chapter 6. Stop judging, and you'll never be judged. Stop condemning, and you'll never be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and you shall receive. God's saying to get their attention. Some things, stop and think about it. Do you realize when you condemn others, you're condemning yourself? Do you realize when you judge others, you're judging yourself? Do you realize when you forget to forgive, you're hurting your own life? One of the things that I've said for years is the idea again, the best gift you give yourself, when you forgive somebody else, that's the best gift you can give yourself. He goes on to say this, it'll be given to you, you will receive. And I love the way Jesus did this. This is taught in God's word. You'll receive a large quantity. It'll be pressed together. It'll be shaken down. Give and you will receive. It'll be put into your pocket. God says, I'll give you much more than you ever thought you could even handle. The standard for your use for others will be applied to you. Whatever, however you treat other people is the way you will be treated. Then Jesus said, I want to give you an illustration of that. A student is no better than a teacher, but everyone who is well trained will be like his teacher. You know that to be true. Everyone will be like the teacher. He also gave this illustration. Can one blind person lead another? Won't they both fall into the same pit? A student is no better than a teacher, but he'll become like the teacher. Now here's the big judging thing for us. I love the way Jesus did this. Why do you see a piece of sawdust in another believer's eyes and not notice the wooden beam in your own eye? How can you say to another believer, friend, let me take that piece of sawdust out of your eye when you don't see the beam in your own eye? He said, you're being a hypocrite. First, remove the beam from your eye. Then you see clearly to remove the piece of sawdust from another believer's eye. That's the mindset of God. The mindset of God is giving, but it's tied into the actions of our life. We just said that verse just a few moments ago. God weighs the heart. It's what the heart is thinking. In our natural way of thinking, we in our relationship with others, we would think we have the right to judge, to condemn, to hold grudges. But Jesus is saying, stop judging and you'll never be judged. Stop condemning and you'll never be condemned. Forgive and you'll be forgiven. Give and it'll be given back to you in abundance. One more thing in God's way of thinking. He wants us to keep watch over our own life. You know what? You need to be a good watchman over your life. You know what's happening in our society today? Everybody's watching over everybody else's life. Everybody's just ready to take a video of something that they see happening. I think we need to realize God's saying, you got to get the beam out of your own eye first, folks. Then you can see to get that little piece of sawdust. I love the way the Apostle Paul shared this. This is sometime later after Jesus is resurrected and Jesus has gone to heaven. And Apostle Paul is speaking about how he'd been ministering to the people. I have shown you in every way by labor like that I do for you that you must support the weak. And then he says this, and remember the words of Jesus. It is more blessed to give than to receive. That's not the world's way of thinking, folks. That's God's way of thinking. And if that's not your way of thinking, you've got the world's way of thinking. And we need God's way of thinking. It's more blessed to give than it is to receive. The mindset of our world today is we want to receive. We want to receive. We have this idea that we have it coming to us. And you know from God, you have nothing coming from God. God just in his mercy reaches out to each one of us. And I love the way God said he gives. It's pressed down. It's shaken together. And it's running over. That's the way God gives to us. And we need to know he wants that to be a little bit of our method of giving. I want to wrap up our service with two more thoughts. And I think these thoughts are pretty special because it gives us, some concrete way to say, how am I doing in my thinking process? Am I controlled by this world's way of thinking? Or am I controlled by God's way of thinking? You know, God told us that his ways are not our ways, and our ways are not his ways. God told us that his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And so we need some of the thoughts of God. But I like what the Apostle Paul did. When the Apostle Paul said, when I've been here with you and I've been working with you, I've tried to show you that I've been doing the labor I'm doing, not expecting you just to hand me everything. And I also am trying as best I can to reach out and help those that don't have what I have. Be a giver, not just a receiver. And he's saying, I wish you would follow that example. That's what Jesus taught us. It's more blessed to give than it is to receive. And you know, in the book of Philippians, God is talking about the mind of Christ. What caused Jesus to leave heaven, be willing to be, he was part of creation, folks. He emptied himself, be willing to be born a baby in a manger. And he had to learn how to eat. He had to learn how to walk. He had to learn all the things that you and I have learned. To dress himself, tie his sandals. Maybe they didn't tie them, I don't know. But you know what? What caused him to do that? Why would he think he would be willing to do that? To benefit us? It isn't going to make Jesus any more Jesus. Jesus is already Jesus. But what Jesus did is going to benefit our lives. It's going to bring things into our life that is very special. So listen to what it says, and I'm not going to make many comments. I just want to let this sink into your mind and heart. Therefore, is there any consolation? Do you get any comfort out of Jesus? Any comfort of his love? Do you have any fellowship with the Spirit of God? Is there any affection and mercy shown in your life? Paul is saying, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same mind, being of one accord and of one mind. He's saying, you know what? Treat other people the same way that you've been treated. That is, in the good thinking. Now listen to what he says. He's reminding us that this is so important that we need to get a hold of it. Let us have the mind of Christ. This mind that was in Christ Jesus had no selfish ambition. He was just doing for us what he wanted to do. We each should not only look at our own interests, but also look at the interests of others, like Jesus did. And here's what he said. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now let's think about the mind of Jesus as we read on. Who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but he made himself a nobody, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of man down here to planet Earth, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and he became obedient to death, to even the death on the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, and every and those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That's what he wants from us, folks. He wants us to become more and more like Jesus. He's not asking you to go to a cross and die, but he's asking you to have the mind of Christ that would allow him to go to a cross and die, that he might become a part of us. But my final thought, and that's the way it starts out in the book of Philippians, on this idea of thinking things through, pondering your thoughts. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's any praiseworthiness, ponder these things. In this translation that I'm reading from, it says that we are to meditate upon these things. And that's what God is saying to us this morning. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, he's saying, do these kinds of things. And listen to what he promises. God says, and then the peace of God will be with you. Folks, you can do whatever you want because it's your mind. You're going to become what you focus upon. If you focus upon the mentality of our society today, you become just like our society. If you focus on the mentality of God's word, the Lord Jesus himself, you can become more like Jesus. I don't know about you. I can only speak for myself. I want to become more and more like the Lord Jesus. I want to become more and more like he is. I want my life to reflect that Jesus is living in my life. Let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. And that mind is the idea that we just don't think of me, myself, and I, but we think of others. We consider others, and that's going to show up in our individual life. Well, it's time for me to go, and as I go on my way, I got us a song I want us to listen to, and this song is this very special. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, and I trust that that's what you'll be saying as you continue on with him. 'Tis so sweet to trust in this one Jesus. And a special to our life. God bless you. Have a good week. Thank you for letting me share with you.
'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord.
Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I've proved him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more.